Lorena, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So here in St Albans, it seems that we're seeing more foxes around, you know, in our streets and our gardens. Are there more urban foxes, or are we just seeing them more?
It's a difficult question to answer and an interesting one, really. Foxes have been establishing themselves in large cities, obviously London, for example, since the 1940s. And since then, we've seen other areas, perhaps slightly less rural, colonised. Cambridge and Norwich are some examples there. But it's difficult, really, to assess whether the numbers are going up, going down, or stable due to the disease, Sarcoptic mange, that can hit fox populations very, very hard and at different times.
Okay.
During the 90s, for example, it swept right across England, causing massive declines in rural and urban foxes, particularly in urban areas, with up to 95% of individuals dying from that illness.
Right.
And so what we might be seeing in many places is a recovering population.
Yeah.
If we're assessing it, a population that's currently suffering under mange, we would notice that it's decreasing a lot.
Yeah.
Density of populations in urban areas can make it quite difficult to tell as well, particularly in the peri-urban areas where you've got the foxes going in and then back out of the city and in and out. So it's quite difficult to say whether they're increasing, decreasing, or showing no change.
Okay.
Obviously, there's lots of different factors influencing that, but it's currently thought that the population of urban foxes in Britain anyway is probably much the same as it was 10-ish years ago.
Okay. I mean, I wondered, we seem to be seeing them more, in St Albans at least, during the day. I wondered, I'd had the impression that they were nocturnal, whereas the foxes we're seeing now, as I say, they don't seem to be like that. Is there a change there, or is my perception wrong?
No, indeed. Researchers have noticed that foxes take on a much more diurnal behaviour when they move into cities. You are right in saying that they are largely nocturnal in the wild, you know what I mean, rural areas. And it's thought that it's just the fact that once they go into an urban area, they don't have the same pressures that they're faced in rural areas. They don't necessarily need to only come out at night time. There's plenty of feeding opportunities, things like that, during the day.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I kind of assumed that foxes originally came into urban areas when we used to have black bags with our food waste in, you know, with just our rubbish in, and that they came in for those easy pickings there. But now, you know, we've got wheelie bins here in St Albans. We've got very secure food caddies with food waste in. So that doesn't seem to be a source of food anymore. So what would they be eating now?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because it's a bit of an urban myth that they're reliant on dustbins. In fact, research has shown that it's a bit of a misconception that they do rifle through it. They will do if they have the opportunity. If there's a black bin on the ground or something that's got food in it, obviously, like many other things, like a dog or a cat would do, they will try and get to the food in there. They're very opportunistic, so they'll never pass up an opportunity to get some food. But actually, many cities where dustbins have been replaced with wheelie bins, as you say, rifling is no longer a problem. Obviously, these are out of reach of the animals at this time. But researchers actually found that the bulk of the food is actually being deliberately provided to foxes
by residents.
So they are getting more. The research seems to indicate that they get more of their food from that than they would do from dustbins and things.
Right.
But then obviously they will scavenge from bird tables or compost heaps if they can do.
Yeah.
As I say, they're adaptable and opportunistic.
Yeah.
And obviously they do to some extent have some of the food availability that they would do in urban areas, rural areas.
So
I should say,
are they just carnivorous, or do they eat things like fallen apples as well?
Oh, they'll eat absolutely pretty much anything. They'll in the rural areas, certainly they'll eat large beetles, crane flies, earthworms, field voles, small birds, blackberries and windfall apples, pears. Anything they can get hold of, really. So, they'll eat meat, or they'll eat insects, they'll eat fruit, they're very omnivorous.
Okay, so perhaps actually it might be things like windfall apples that they're after at the moment, because there seems to be a fabulous apple crop this year, most of which obviously ends up on the floor. How about things like, now this might be wishful thinking, how about rats? Would they eat rats?
If they can do, yes, certainly. Any small mammal as I say, they're opportunistic. So if they have the opportunity to, they will do.
Right.
I don't think rodents, I mean, wild mammals as an entire, small research done on urban foxes in London showed that wild mammals, so any voles, rodents, anything like that, was only about 13% of their diet.
Right. Okay. So even if they were to eat rats, they wouldn't make a big impact on an urban rat population,
would it? It's difficult to say. No one's really shown, but certainly from what's indicated as to their diet, the majority of it will be scavenged meat. About 25% of it is scavenged meat.
Right. Okay.
And about 20% is insects and invertebrates.
Okay. Now, the other thing that we seem to be noticing more is foxes being bolder than they used to be. The fact that they seem quite confident walking down the road in the day or standing in your garden staring at you. At one time you could leave chickens outside during the day as long as they weren't outside at night. Now, definitely not. Again, have we got any evidence that they're bolder? I mean, are they more dangerous? I mean, are they dangerous at all, actually?
Any wild animal, if approached incorrectly, has the potential to be hazardous, certainly. I mean, with regards to humans, they're generally they're very shy, they're very wary. They would normally run away to avoid adults and children. That's the standard behavioural model that you would expect from a fox. I think part of the problem, the main problem behind foxes perhaps seeming a little bolder is just people feeding them.
Right.
When feeding foxes, we would always recommend caution.
Yes.
If you see foxes in your garden or nearby, it means they probably have already found a good food supply.
Yes.
As I say, they're excellent opportunistic scavengers.
Right.
So when feeding foxes, we would always recommend caution. It's always worth noting that your neighbours might not share your view of foxes. You might very much enjoy the presence of foxes. Your neighbours may not feel the same. And by encouraging them into your garden, it might result in your neighbours taking action against them.
Yeah.
We absolutely would never recommend hand-feeding foxes, trying to make them tame,
right,
or putting out too much food, because
yeah,
they can become very dependent on what a single food source. And again, it may, you may be leading to ill feeling with your neighbours if you're encouraging lots in. But I think largely what we're seeing is people hand-feeding foxes, feeding foxes in such a way as they can enjoy the fox's company. And then obviously over time that fox is going to grow less and less scared of humans,
right,
and is going to associate them with food.
Right. Okay. So you'd say treat them like a wild animal, treat them with caution.
Absolutely.
And they are perfectly capable of, as you say, they're very adaptable feeders. They'll find their own food out there.
Absolutely. And obviously part of the problem is going to be people want to get good videos and pictures for social media. And it probably would make a very nice video to have you feeding a fox by hand in the back garden.
Mm, yeah.
But all we ask is that people think about what the potential consequences of that might be. They are wild animals.
Yeah.
They should behave like wild animals.
Yeah.
And then becoming not more aggressive, but I would say bolder, perhaps
yeah,
less scared, certainly some of the urban ones who are getting regularly fed.
Yeah.
That's not ever going to have a positive outcome for them,
no,
realistically.
No.
There's also another theory that there's an illness called toxoplasmosis that particularly rodents can get, and you'll find that mice with this illness will walk right up to domestic cats, for example, even jump on them.
Oh, right.
And then obviously they get killed. There is a theory with certain researchers that some of these foxes that have been particularly bold may be suffering from this illness, and that is why they're so bold. It's a side effect, it's sort of a mental side effect,
yeah,
of this illness.
Okay, so you've mentioned a couple of diseases there that foxes get. Can they be a source of diseases for us or our pets?
Well, it's probably slightly higher risk with mange for dogs, and that's just because of the contact risk. The dogs are much more likely to come in contact with feces and fox feces, things,
yes,
like that, perhaps roll in it.
Yeah.
The one thing with mange, obviously, in dogs, it can be easily treated by a veterinarian. So at the first sign of anything like that, just, take your pet quickly to the veterinarian.
And they'll be fine.
Yeah, with cats, whilst cats can contract mange from foxes, it won't persist. It's very rare, and I've got a study here showing that between 1973 and 2006, there were only 11 cases of cats with sarcoptic mange worldwide,
right,
and only two of those were contracted from foxes.
Okay, so that's not a risk
that's
that cats we need
and dogs,
to worry
no,
about.
No, and obviously with humans, there is a risk, again, that sarcoptic mange could be transmitted to humans. it won't survive on the host, but it could only and it can only be contracted through direct contact. So,
okay. So if we
handling of infected foxes, handling of yeah. fox feces, things like that, you just need to be aware.
So again, if we're clearing up fox poo, do it carefully and again keeping our distance from them so that we can't transmit that.
Absolutely, yeah. There's also, I mean, with fox droppings, you've also got other potential issues like toxocariasis with roundworm.
Right.
And that's again, there's a little slight risk of children picking it up from fox droppings. But again, it's just watch out, be clean.
Yes.
Don't handle infected foxes or infected.
As you would do around any wild animal, really. You know, they're wild animals that do have diseases, don't
Absolutely,
they?
Absolutely, yeah.
So if we want to make our gardens less appealing to foxes, say if we do have rabbits in the garden or chickens or something, and we just want to discourage foxes from being there, are there a few easy things that we can do?
Certainly, yes. There's a number of humane deterrence measures you can take for foxes. Obviously, you mentioned pets there.
Yeah.
It's always important if you do have pets like rabbits indoors, you could keep them indoors overnight or in secure enclosures. There are a number of companies now that will provide tests that have tested cages against foxes and things like that to make sure that the doors are firmly secured, the walls are all proof. Obviously, you need to avoid them digging under.
Of course, yes.
Obviously, there is one something, pets like that is something that's always going to encourage them potentially into the garden, as well as any spilled pet food, that sort of thing that you're feeding the rabbit.
Yes, and as you say, actually, foxes will eat pretty much anything, so it doesn't matter if it's, rabbit food, foxes would still eat that.
Absolutely, yeah. So it sort of falls into two or three areas, really. You've got your direct measures. So ideally, anyone who doesn't really want foxes in their garden is feeling a bit off about having them in the garden, which is fine. The first point of call is always going to be to obstruct their access with fencing or similar. Some people have tried planting prickly plants and things around the borders, that
yes.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, fencing, it could potentially cost a lot of money, and lots of people have gardens that can't ever realistically be completely fenced off to stop anything ever getting in. So another option would be fox repellents. Now, there are a number of them available that have been tested out. They're very, very effective. You have ones for plants or lawns. You can usually get them from garden centres and things like that. It's always important to read the instructions, though, because they're always prepared and approved for against particular animals in specific ways.
Yeah.
And it's illegal to use any substance to deter foxes that hasn't already been legally approved.
Yes.
But there are a number that have been tailor-made for fox repellents. And I myself have spoken to members of the public who I've recommended it to, and they have reported a high level of success with that. So that's always a good option to use. Obviously, it doesn't affect any other animals as well.
Right, okay.
The next big one is to remove any food supplies that they might be able to get hold of. So obviously, bird food that you might throw on the floor. It's better to use feeders that are less likely to spill. Protecting fruit and vegetable crops with fencing or mesh. Clearing away windfall fruit, as we mentioned earlier.
Yep.
Sealed dustbins and composters.
Of course, yes.
And obviously, if you've got a cat or a dog, if you do feed them outside, it's probably better to take the food bowl or whatever food is left over in when they've finished.
Yeah, indeed.
And the last point would be just to remove any available shelter. So potential areas of long grass or vegetation where they might be able to lie up undisturbed during the day, keeping access to garage, greenhouse and sheds are closed.
Yeah.
And preventing access to areas under sheds or garages, decking, that kind of thing, which is obviously an ideal location for them to dig and earth and raise cubs.
Of course. Well, thank you very much indeed. I think you've busted a few myths there and hopefully given us some pointers whether we like the foxes in our garden or not. Lauren, thank you.
Please.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.